Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, take my mind now and think through me. Take my heart and love through me. Take my lips and speak through me your words to teach and touch our hearts, that we may glorify you in our lives, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please sit down. It was the evening of Easter Day, the Resurrection Day, and the disciples, all except Thomas, were together in the locked room, afraid of the Jews, afraid that the authorities would not be content with simply killing Jesus, but would go for them too. Just a little side note, the word doors is plural. I wonder if there was an outer gate that was locked, as well as the door into the room. Anyway, it's not surprising that they were meeting together. So many things had happened. The crucified and dead Jesus was in fact alive and healthy. He'd been seen by Mary Magdalene and the other women, by Cleopas and his companion, and by Simon Peter, but not by anyone else. It was all very puzzling, rather exciting, and there was an awful lot to talk about. So let's look at what happened when Jesus appeared to the ten. Well, regardless of the locked doors, suddenly into that gathering came the living Jesus Christ, and he stood among them. "Shalom," he said, "peace be with you." It's a very ordinary, what is the most usual Jewish greeting, shalom. Now, every shade of emotion must have passed been present at that moment in that room. Fright, surprise, disbelief. It's a ghost. Alarm, joy, fear, guilt. But to show them that he was not a ghost, Jesus showed them his wounds of crucifixion. And the disciples were overjoyed at seeing him. Again, Jesus said, "Shalom, peace." And then he got straight down to business. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now, here's an echo of his prayer in the upper room after the supper and before his arrest, when he prayed, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." But now he breathed on them. "Receive the Holy Spirit." This in anticipation of what would happen at Pentecost in 50 days' time. This was to remind them of their divinely ordained task of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the world. But what they couldn't do in their own strength, nor without God's authority. Remember that whatever God calls you to do, you have his authority to do it, even if the world looks at you somewhat askance and thinks, man's mad. If God has given it to you, it's his authority. "If you forgive anyone his sins," said Jesus, "they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, only God can forgive sins. But Jesus gave the disciples, he gives us, the privilege of telling new believers that they have been forgiven because they have just accepted Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at Thomas. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Thomas, that's his Hebrew name, and Didymus, that's Greek, both mean twin. So he was obviously nicknamed Twin. Oh, twins just arrived. We know nothing of Thomas's twin brother or twin sister, whichever, but it seems that he was nicknamed Twin. So let's look at what we do know about Thomas, Twin, from two earlier accounts in this gospel. First, having withdrawn from Judea after being close to being killed before his hour had come, Jesus announced that he would now go back to Judea to raise Lazarus from the grave. Jesus announced he would go back, and his disciples pointed out the folly of this to him. But it was Thomas who said, "Let us also go, that we might die with him." Dear Thomas, it's clear that he was thinking not of Lazarus, nor even of himself, but only of Jesus' safety. He couldn't bear the thought of his beloved Lord dying alone. And then secondly, in Jesus' farewell discourse after the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples, "You know the place where I am going." And it was Thomas who responded, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" It's common sense, isn't it? If you don't know the destination, you cannot possibly know how to get there. From these two events, we learn two things about Thomas. First, that he really loved his Lord. He was utterly, utterly devoted to him, and he couldn't bear the thought of losing him. And then secondly, that he was also despondent. He always expected the worst, and he couldn't believe the good when he was presented with it. But there's still this question, where was Thomas when Jesus appeared to the other disciples? Could he have been buying something at a shop? Was he meeting someone else? We don't know. We're not told. So when he learned from the others what had happened in his absence, his world just fell apart. He must have been very hurt to have been missed out from that experience. And to his colleagues' assurance that Jesus, that they'd seen Jesus, that he was very much alive and healthy, and that he'd come to them, Thomas responded, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." In other words, he will believe that Jesus is alive from the dead, but only on Thomas's conditions. I wonder if any of us just might have reacted in the same way. And so then we come, thirdly, to Jesus' second appearance to the disciples. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And again, the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them. "Shalom, peace be with you." And then he addressed Thomas, admonishing this erring disciple. We might have expected Jesus perhaps to have spoken sharply to him, but in fact Jesus was gentle, and yet he is still the same Jesus. Now see how Jesus knew exactly what Thomas' conditions were, because to each condition, in the same order in which they'd been laid down, Jesus responded with a command. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were," Jesus responded, "Put your finger here. See my hands." Thomas had said, "And put my hand into his side." Jesus said, "Reach out your hand and put it into my side." "I will not believe it," said Thomas. To which Jesus responded, "Stop doubting and believe." I wonder if Thomas did obey Jesus' commands. Did he have any choice? Well, whether he did or he didn't, Thomas responded, "My Lord and my God." Now, they all called Jesus Lord. They had done all the time. But this is the first recorded time that anyone addressed Jesus as God. Was it only because Thomas had seen the crucified Jesus alive, seen him for himself? Or was it also because of Jesus' omniscience in knowing precisely the conditions that Thomas had laid down? Whichever, he who had lauded it over his Lord a week ago recognized his sovereign God and totally submitted. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed," said Jesus. There was nothing wrong with Thomas's confession, but something very wrong in the manner in which he had come to it. He'd set himself and his conditions over his Lord. We have no right to do that, when he should have been humble and believing. You know, some people think they'd believe in Jesus if they could see some proof of his existence. But of course, there is no proof as such. Instead, we have all we could possibly need in the words of the Bible to tell us in the Old Testament, looking forward to him, in the New Testament, telling us about him. We have the testimonies of other people. Each of you has a story. So let's be thankful that we have believed because we've believed without seeing him, because Jesus tells us to do that. Amen.